May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Jesus said to his disciples, I have called you friends. Abide in my love. Today's readings forms a part of Jesus' parting sayings to his disciples as he prepares them for the time of his ascension when he would physically leave them. This section of teachings is also known as Jesus' farewell discourse and priestly prayer. In them, Jesus disclosed to us that God is calling his own and choose those who are to live as his true friends, regardless of status. And so, these are instructions on how we are to abide in his love and love others with God's love. So Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Remember that God does not choose us to isolate us from the difficulties of this life, but rather to live our lives with the assurance that God has chosen us, loves us, and has a purpose for each of us. Knowing this, we will gain courage to face the challenges and renew our strength to overcome these challenges. Remember that Jesus knew that there were challenges ahead of his disciples. And we know that they had isolated themselves in the upper room of the Christ ascension, awaiting the promised Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And so here, Jesus assures them aforehand that they are loved and encourages them to abide in his love. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love, he told them. The word translated as abide can also be translated as remain or stay. And after a year of lockdown, quarantine, and social distancing, I am sure that we have all become familiar with those words. We all certainly know what it means to remain, to shelter in a safe place, and to stay at home. I am sure that we have also become intimately familiar with the inside of our own homes, and maybe even with the interior of our minds in ways we likely haven't done before. The time spent on our own might have even opened our eyes to areas in our lives that might need some pruning in order to become more functional and to be more fruitful. The scriptures affirm that God is love and that Jesus' death and resurrection has healed our brokenness so that we can participate in that love. Today we hear Jesus telling us that divine love comes to us as a gift, but also it comes with a command and a duty. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Chapter 15, 1 to 8 of John's Gospel connect very nicely with the text for today from chapter 15, 9 to 17. Since it is clear that loving each other cannot be separated from the idea of the fruit connected to the vine, neither can the relationship between Jesus and God the Father and the relationship between Jesus and his disciples be separated, which also correlates with that intimate relationship Jesus wants the disciples to maintain as they serve in his name. This is the same relationship Jesus wants us to carry in our hearts as we live out our own faith story. This is why Jesus exhorts us to abide in his love. If you keep my commands, he says, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's command, which is the same as the vine and branches analogy, showing that when we are connected to the Creator, we can bear much fruit, since by doing so, we are abiding in God's love. And so, love is the glue that holds these relationships together. As revealed by God's love for Jesus and Jesus' love for us, when we abide in his love, we also abide in God's love. It is this integrated love of Jesus that we are to hold in our hearts and share with those with whom we have contact. I believe the message translation of this text draws out wonderfully the image of Jesus' dialogue with his disciples. And it reads, I have loved you the way my Father has loved me. If you keep my commands, you will remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I have done. Kept my Father's command and made myself at home in his love. Make yourself at home in my love. To be at home with God's love, we must keep God's commandments. It is said that home is where the heart is. Home is that familiar, secure, and comfortable place that we share with family and friends. Today, Jesus calls you and I friends and asks us to abide in his love. According to Jesus, the definition of a friend is one who is fully informed. Today, Jesus wants us to know that it is he who has chosen us, asks us to be on his side and become a member of his team. We did not pick him. It was he who has sought us out, recruited us as it were, not by coercion nor by transcription, but out of loving care, out of belief in us, out of concern that we get to know him, to enjoy fellowship together with him and become everything we are capable of. And so, all we are and all we do as Easter people is in response to the gospel message that tells us we are called, we are chosen and cherished by the one who has created us. What an honor and privilege. And as a result of this privilege, we will find pleasure in doing God's will as we enjoy fellowship with Jesus Christ in doing his will. Can you imagine any greater fulfillment than the satisfaction of doing God's will? Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the revered German martyr who was killed resisting Hitler's Third Reich in 1945, describes the church as Christ taking form in a body of believers. Did you get that? Each one of us here today at St. Peter's de Beauvoir are Christ's representative in this gathered body of believers. Therefore, we are to understand that church is not so much an institution with rules, regulations, and ritual, as it is an intricate body of relationships. And more than an organization, the church is an organism of people who love God, who seek to do God's will, who love and cherish each other, treat each other with dignity and honesty, gladly caring for each other's needs, and building bridges of understanding and peace. The words of our text from Jesus' farewell discourse and prayer can also be said to be Jesus' last will and testament between himself and his disciples. In it, the Lord bears his soul in his last hours on earth. In it, Jesus makes it clear to his followers that they are not servants any longer, but friends. A servant does not know what his master is doing, as Jesus points out. Friends, on the other hand, are absolutely open and honest with each other. We count on our friends to speak the truth in love and encourage us to think again when we are missing the mark. Being a friend can move us into unknown territories. And when we are friends with Christ, we can dream dreams of love that can change the contour of our world. Because Jesus said to his disciples, I have made known to you everything I have heard from my fathers. We have shared fully and intimately. And most important of all, friends value each other's life as much as they value their own. They are willing to lay down their lives for each other. Dr. Peter Story, a great spiritual leader in South Africa who worked alongside Archbishop Tutu and President Nelson Mandela in dismantling apartheid, said that when we invite Christ into our lives, he insists that we let him bring his friends with him. At church today, we may see people that we know and like. We may see people that we don't even like or don't even know. However, today Jesus is commanding us to regard each other as friends, so that we might bear fruit, fruit that endures. Jesus makes it unmistakably clear that we cannot truly love him and not also love those he loves and those for whom he died. We must love even those we do not or cannot like for Christ's sake, because Jesus today main message to us is that we love one another as he loves us. Amen.